Raptors have to feel fantastic about where this at. Do you think Milwaukee's confidence is shaken? Not that they lost, Michael, but how they're losing these two games.
Is Milwaukee's confidence shaken? Probably a little bit. You know, I think, they've been on such a cruise through the first two rounds and the first two games of this series that I'm sure they thought that was their playoff destiny. And they're a very young team. They really haven't been through this kind of thing before. And, they got kind of smacked in the mouth a couple of times. So I'm sure there's a little bit of some guessing going on in their camp. There's no doubt.
And if not confidence being lost, definitely frustration, right? I just feel like when you looked at some of the players out there, they weren't able to get what they were trying to do. Giannis is an example. Bledsoe is an example. And then even like Brogdon, we didn't even see him score till late in the game in this one.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I think when you look at the series, you know, the Raptors believe they should be up 3-1. Yep. They absolutely think they should have won game one. And the Bucks, I'm sure they believe they should be up at 3-1 at least. They absolutely believe they should have won the double overtime game. So I think it goes both ways. But to your point, you know, I think on each side, the guys came out of that double overtime game differently. Brogdon hadn't played a ton of minutes coming off an injury, and he certainly looked like he'd sort of pushed himself past his limit based on how he played last night. And Kawhi, obviously, he looked a little similar as well.
Michael Grainge, our guest, off to Wisconsin today for Game 5 tomorrow night, which is an 8:30 start back here in Toronto Saturday night. Could be a decisive Game 6. Someone can close it out, whether it's the home team or the road team. Now, I wonder if the script is flipped, Michael, and there's talk about any lineup changes for Mike Budenholzer. Would they consider, as Ashley noted, Brogdon, would he come in and potentially play for Nikola Mirotic? Mirotic has been real disappointing the last two games. I'm not sure what Mirotic does necessarily better than Brogdon, if that makes sense.
Right, and I don't think you need the size necessarily based on how the Raptors line up. They were really, really good. I think all their lineups statistically with Brogdon have been really, really good all year. So that might be something they look at. But the flip side of that is Budenholzer, his reputation is he is the guy who does not adjust. And he showed that, I thought, a little bit last night at times. So, maybe there's a stubbornness there where he just says, this is what we're going to do. And when we do it well, it works. I think we're definitely at that stage of a series where teams are, the micro adjustments matter. And, maybe that could end up being the Raptors' advantage based on, Budenholzer's sort of hesitation by reputation to make a lot of small adjustments that way. Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people were more inclined to buy into the narrative that the Raptors were lucky to get out of game three with a double overtime win, as opposed to something more along the lines of, hey, two good teams who had really good players in foul trouble just went to battle and the Raptors were the better team that night?
Well, I think that's the correct interpretation, Ashley. That's how that game looked to me. The Raptors had multiple chances to win the game in regulation. They could have won it in single overtime. I think they're up four again. So, as the flip side is the Bucks, from the Bucks' point of view, they're just going to look at those numbers and the free throws they missed and the lack of production they got out of certain players and, some of the things the Raptors had to do to win it. And go, well, that should have been our win. So, a close game like that, that's how it's going to go. But I don't think there's any of those opportunities available after game four. I mean, the Raptors were the better team. And, I think when they look at that film, the Bucks tomorrow, or today, I should say, I'm sure they're going to go, why were we double covering? Why were we sending so much attention to Kawhi Leonard when he was clearly laboring? And if you look at so much of the Raptors' offense came from them overcommitting to Kawhi Leonard, getting off the ball and the ball moving, guys making plays. And I think if they were going to rewind that, they go, why don't we just challenge Kawhi, see exactly how much he's got. And does he have, if we leave him alone, will he shoot 30 times? Can he shoot 30 times? We'll stay home everywhere else. And even if he does, maybe he'll just run himself into the ground further, and it worked to our benefit. So I think I think the Bucks will regret that one from that point of view.
All right, Michael Grant's joining us. You can read his latest work at Sportsnet.ca. Game 5 in Wisconsin tomorrow night. We have it on the radio side on Sportsnet 590, The Fan with Eric and Paul. The television side on Sportsnet will have Game 6 back here in Toronto on Saturday night. Again, another 8:30 start. I said nobody leaving that building last night felt like Norm Powell missed 9 3-pointers. It's a franchise record. I guess we just see the 4 makes in our own mind. Not incredibly efficient, but boy, he wasn't lacking for confidence last night, was he? And the baskets that he made were really important. They'd stretch leads out from 5 to 8, from 8 to 11. He was efficient in that context, at the very least.
I agreed, and I think, you know, you're at a point too where you just need guys to take shots that are available. And to Norm's credit, Norm will always do that. And you know, we've seen what happens through this playoff run where guys don't pull the trigger when the shot's there. And I think a lot of those misses came in the second half as things did get a little more grindy. And you know, the Raptors, you know, they would kind of toss it to Kawhi, and Kawhi would sort of try to do what he's been doing in the fourth quarter all season, really. And he couldn't beat that second guy. He couldn't beat the first guy half the time. And then all of a sudden the ball's coming out a little slow, a little late, and Norm's kind of in a tough position to shoot. So, you know, they weren't always ideal, but I think in the guts of the game, you know, he hit some huge shots, and, you know, a confident Norm Powell is a pretty good player. I mean, there's a reason he got a $40 million deal, and it's just the depths when he's not playing with the kind of confidence he should be playing with most of the time that you know, we all kind of roll our eyes. But yeah, it doesn't always have to be pretty. But I agree with you, Greg. You know, 9 misses didn't matter. It was the 4 makes that really did matter.
And, of course, you want to see some consistency with your players. But if I'm getting playoff Norm over regular season Norm, I think that's a pretty fair trade-off. If I have to choose one.
And which regular season, too, last year?
Well, yeah, that's true. But if I'm getting like the top-notch performances, I'd rather it come in the postseason. But one of the things, forget about the offense, one of the things that I think that this team has done so, so well has been defensively. They've been so effective and efficient. And, of course, sometimes you're going to get those brain farts where things fall apart. But what's impressed you most about the way that this group has handled things defensively?
I think they've been very committed to their game plan, and they've kind of hit on a formula, if they will, to manage. I think manage is the right word. Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they're sticking to it, and it's working. And I thought what was impressive last night is it didn't work early on. You know, Giannis looked like he was going to tear the place down, but he had 11 in the first quarter, and it seemed like they were all dunks, and then just they slowly kind of they stayed committed to the plan and executed a little bit better. And it wasn't just Kawhi Leonard picking him up. You had Theo Ibaka picking him up. You had Siakam picking him up. But the amount of help they're showing in all circumstances is making it very difficult for him. And I think that that's been, to me, most impressive, because it's the kind of thing, if anyone doesn't read the play correctly, you know, the first defender is not stopping Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so the second and the third and the rotations after that all have to be on point. And so far they have been, you know, they've kept him. They haven't let him get loose. Game 2, he was obviously really good, but now out of 3 of the 4 games, they've been able to keep him under his averages. And, you know, and I think if they can, you know, the guy does have a flaw, if you want to put it that way. He is just not a really efficient half-court scorer. And the numbers the Raptors have been putting up defensively in the half court show that. And, you know, I think if they can stick with that, they have a chance to win the series.
You must be fascinated, as we let you go, to see what Giannis evolves into. Like, guys do go through, big men especially, go through that evolution. Garnett did, Tim Duncan did. I watched a lot of Chris Webber in college, and he handled the ball really well. He'd bring the ball up. But Giannis has to find this, doesn't he? It's hard to believe we could listen to Milwaukee sports radio today. I don't know if you will when you get there. Godspeed if you do. But it's amazing to think a caller could go, here's what I don't like about Antetokounmpo's game. And you're like, huh? But there are things not to like. There are things he has to get better at, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, he's a work in progress. And to me, the number one thing he has to bring is those little... He reads the play pretty well as a passer. Like, you know, he's got to get more accurate as a passer. But just those little moments, you know, where you take that, you know, I think of LeBron, right? Like, he sees the same types of defenses, and he'll pull up and shoot a floater here and there. He's got a little bit of a mid-range he'll go to here and there. And that's, Giannis is basically all or nothing right now. And that makes him, I wouldn't say easy to defend, because his ability to get to the rim, to get where he wants to go, is almost unparalleled. But, you know, there is a middle ground that he's got to find, and he'll find it. I mean, the guy's, you know, you look at the progress he's made just in the number of years he's been in the league, but the Raptors hope he doesn't find it in the next three games, I guess.